Blog Talk Radio.
Here to bring trouble to phony MCs. I move on and seize. I just conquer and stomp another rapper with ease. Cause I'm at my apex and others are below. Nothing but a milliliter. I'm a kilo, second to none. Making MCs run, so don't try to step to me. Cause I ain't the one. I believe rappers just like Tylenol, and they know it. So I don't see why you all try to front, perpetrating a stunt, when you know that I smoke you up like a blunt. I'm genuine like Gucci, raw like sushi. This age of rage is what rap did to me, to make me wanna create chaos and mayhem. Cold rock a party until the AM. I'll make a muscle, grab the mic and hustle. While you stand dazed and amazed, I'll bust a little rhyme with authority, superiority, and captivate the whole crowd's majority. The rhymes I use definitely amuse, better than Dynasty or Hill Street Blues. I'm sure to score and door for more without a floor, cause I get raw. Lifetime, believe I've never been beaten or eaten and just taken out. You know, come to think about it, I keep them looking out and real nervous when I'm at your service. So give me that title, boy. You don't deserve it. I work like a slave to become a master. And when I say a rhyme, you know that it has to be perfectly fitted. Cause I'm committed. The entertainer and trainer and Kane are getting with it. I go and flow and grow to let you know I damage you. I'm not an amateur, but a professional. A questioner without doubt.
Welcome to the Goat Squad Sports Radio Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I call this station Chocolate, WYDL, Chocolate 108.1. I am Puma, along with Ice Water. We just had a hot 40 minutes on YouTube. We'll put that show up later. Ice and Black were in rare form. Not in rare form. They usually are in that form. But I say rare form, Ice, because you two agreed on a number of stuff, and that normally doesn't happen. How you doing, Ice Water?
I'm good, brother. I wanted to make sure that he felt good coming back. He's been off for quite some time, right before I stabbed him in the back. So you know how that goes. I'm taking it easy on him right now.
So that's nice of you. We talked about a lot of subjects on the first 40. And we're going to pick it up with the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is set, and we're not going to talk because I know that this is the worst week for me as far as football, because after the NFC and AFC championship game, I wish they would just have the game the next week. But they have this lull, and I think the All-Pro game is coming up this weekend. I can't tell you the last time I watched the All-Pro game. I'm not really interested in watching it. Won't be watching it this time. But the hype week in the Super Bowl is one of the weeks that I dread the most, because it's so much talk before the game. And I'm so eager to get the game going on so we can find out who's the champion. But what I want to talk about, because we'll talk about the Super Bowl next week, today I want to talk about the teams that didn't make the Super Bowl. And I'm talking about Green Bay, Houston, Tennessee, the New England Patriots, Baltimore, and Seattle. And I want to go by each team and talk about what they need to get to the Super Bowl. And so I'm going to start with Seattle, and then we can trade on this. I think Seattle right now, of course, they need a running back. I don't know if they're going to bring Lynch back, but it would be nice if they did bring Lynch back. But I felt like Seattle needed some more help in the receiving core. And the defense is coming along, but it's not gelling like that defense of the past, the Legion of Boom that we saw a few years ago. But that's what I see that Seattle needs. Of course, their top running back went down. They brought Lynch in. A number one receiver that can go out there and just open up the field to give Russell Wilson enough chance to get the ball to other receivers or the number one receiver. And that defense needs to tighten up. What do you see that Seattle needs to get to that next level?
Yeah, this might sound like a broken record on us. For a lot of these teams, they need the same thing. I think it would be very helpful too if Seattle could upgrade its offensive line. Because the more time that you give Russell Wilson to throw the ball, the better the results are going to be. Also, too, you mentioned about wide receiver. When you look, just watching Mahomes and how many, like you said, he was using Sammy Watkins to score points. Mm-hmm. And you need about three solid receivers along with a couple great tight ends. And I know that their tight end went down. But just weapons and maybe even somebody that can do kind of like a play the Tyreek Hill role where they're kind of more like a scat back. Somebody can fill a slot like Julian Edelman and run. I think that would be helpful for them along with a solid number one running back. But and I think also, too, on defense, it would help them to have they should try to if he wants to come back. Might cost them too much money, but Clowney was amazing. But I think you saw when they had edge rushers coming from the defensive end, a linebacker would be very helpful, and that would help their defensive their young defense come along because I think they're a work in progress, but it could be a lot better when they don't have to carry all the load.
Yeah, because Wagner is that experienced linebacker that they do have, but it seems like they just need a little bit more. And I think you're right about that linebacking core. If they can tighten that up, I think they can get more pressure on the quarterback, and they can stop any running attack that comes against them. Baltimore, a lot of people thought that Baltimore might be that team that played against Kansas City, and you never know what would have happened in that game. They seem to have everything they need to me, but I don't know about offense what they need, but I thought defense they would be a lot more solid. Maybe they need to get – I know they have – some safety issues and some cornerback issues. It just seemed like when they couldn't run the ball and Jackson couldn't kind of maneuver, it's like they stalled a little bit. But what do you think they need? I can't see that they need anything but experience.
Yeah, but how long is experience? Sometimes you got to bring in more pieces. I think they got exposed on defense where they didn't have enough quality reserves. And that's quality key to football. You got to have young guys and other guys that can come in at least give the other guys a break because once their offense was forced into doing things they didn't like to do, like, for instance, when the Tennessee defense went zone, they shut down the running lanes a lot for Jackson, which made him throw the ball, and then people started getting hurt. Ingram wasn't himself. I think it would be nice to have somebody that could run with Ingram. I know they had the other guy. I can't think of his name top of my head, but he's a decent replacement. But you need to have another guy that kind of can work with Ingram the way that he's working with Kamara down in New Orleans. So you need another like a speed guy coming out that backfield. Also, too, I think they're pretty can be solid at tight end with Adams riding to the occasion and a couple other guys. But they need better wide receivers. You had when it got down to it, you saw Hollywood Brown was really he came up as a young man, but when you got down to it, Lamar Jackson was throwing the ball to Snead, Willie Snead. He hadn't he hasn't been in the mix all year long, but he was like the second leading receiver in the last game that they played, and unfortunately he wasn't able to make enough quality plays. So even if you went out and got some younger guys through the draft, they need more playmakers like Willie, like Hollywood Brown. So it allows Lamar Jackson not to be stifled the way that the Tennessee defense was able to do.
Yeah, because I know Tennessee they were really wrapping up Hollywood Brown in that last game, and he seemed like he was spent towards the end of the game because he was trying to get away from them double teams. And I think teams know that Hollywood Brown is one of those receivers that if you don't put the clamps on him, he could really burn you. And he had a great season. I think you're right. They do need some more receivers and some more weapons on offense. But I just see that they just need that experience that when you get in big games like that you need to settle down. I think Lamar Jackson needs to help his team settle down a little bit more. And I think he will become that quarterback where he can get to a point where he'll say, okay, guys, I'm going to put you on my shoulders, and we're going to win this game, and I'm going to will you to win this game. But Baltimore is on their way. I thought, like I said earlier, I thought they would be in the mix. I thought it was a toss-up between Baltimore and Kansas City, who would be in the Super Bowl. And the way Baltimore was playing and how they were beating teams, both on offense and defense, I'm like, man, it could have been Baltimore or Kansas City. And I'm pretty sure they're thinking about that too. Now, here's an interesting team with the New England Patriots. I'm going to let you go first on this one as far as what does New England need to do to get back to the Super Bowl?
Well, it depends on whether or not you have Tom Brady. That's key there. If you don't bring him back, you're going to need to bring in a quarterback. But let's say you keep Brady. If you were able to bring Brady back and he resigns or whatever, I really do think that you're going to definitely need some offensive help, because I don't think Brady is the same guy that he was before. I give you that. But part of it was he had to throw the ball a lot quicker than he was used to in the past. And guys simply were not – the reserves were coming in and they were not running routes. He was forced to throw the ball to younger players that simply – I can't even think of the young man's name. I want to be disrespectful. Begins with an H. He came on and he was on the practice squad, or he was on injured reserve for a while, and then all of a sudden he's the number one receiver. They brought in Sanu,
right,
and he was hurt. That didn't work. But you had to have some more offensive weapons on that somebody didn't go long as wide receivers, and who could help take the pressure off of Edelman, and some guys were a little bit more beat up. Also, too, they need more speed on defense. You know, they have to get – I think they have to get younger. And it would not hurt them. We know what they also need. Let's be real. It's the other thing that helps Tom Brady be Tom Brady. They might, and it's been a minute, but they might want to look at that draft to get them some very bona fide, talented tight end help. They need that desperately.
Yeah. They need another Gronk. they need another Gronk. Because it was a glaring. It was glaring that they needed him so bad and they didn't have him. And there was, you know, talks about getting him back and pull him out of retirement, and he said no. But they need another or two Gronks, as you would say. So, yeah, look at some tight ends in the college draft, and then receivers, of course. I think the running game is okay. I think New England, I think, needs to rely on the running game, but I think they need an offensive line too, because this year – I haven't seen Tom Brady get hit as many times he got hit this season in a long time. And I got to think that it's something going on with that offensive line. They had some injuries. It just seemed like it wasn't clicking. And Tom Brady, we had games, they were winning, but he wasn't throwing touchdown passes. He was not throwing touchdown passes. He did not have the receivers. The miscue with Antonio Brown and other receivers, it just wasn't happening. And so they need tools on the offense to make that offense go. The defense was number one at one particular point, but I think they got – it was a long season. I think they started getting run down. They started playing a lot of man-to-man when I think they should have kind of relied on the zone. It was almost like they knew that they couldn't really play zone, so they were relying on that front four to go after quarterbacks, and it just wasn't happening. So they need some studs on the defensive line. They need some linebackers. They just need to retool that team to be a little bit more defense-oriented, to get that offense in better field position, and to give Tom Brady, if they decide to bring him back, or whoever they bring in there, to give that quarterback enough time and enough weapons to get the job done. Because I watched a lot of New England, more than I like to admit, I watched a lot of New England this year, and what I was finding is that they didn't have good field position. They couldn't move the ball certain times. Tom Brady was being chased. Teams have figured out and come up the middle on Tom Brady, that me and Black have always been saying throughout the years, and it just causing havoc. So if he decides to come back or he decides to retire, that's going to be an issue no matter who's playing quarterback there. The offensive line, some tools on offense. I think they're good at running back, but they don't rely on the running game as much as I think they should. And you see teams like Tennessee, see teams like San Francisco relying on the running game. And I forgot to mention about Baltimore. When Ingram got hurt, that really hurt them in their chances in making it to the Super Bowl. The next team is Tennessee. So I'll let you go first on that one and see what do they need to get to the next level.
Well, I think they need a number of things. I think they need depth. When you look at it, it wouldn't help them. It would not hurt them depth on defense a little bit. But the other thing, too, is they need more offensive weapons. Okay, you had a wide receiver who really was a tight end that they used in Brown on that team. And then they need a running back who can change it. If you keep Derrick Henry, you need a running back who can be used as a change of tempo type of back. So
okay. They
need that because it's run ground and pound right now. You need some speed out there, and you need some more speed at wide receiver. If you go back with Tannehill, you need to be able to say, okay, we can be you can be versatile in our approach. It was either one way or the other. Derrick Henry's going to run all the time, and we're going to control it with our defense, or we're going to try to find that tight end slash wide receiver to run the ball and make it some great plays. They need more depth at wide receiver, some speed, and I think that would help them dramatically from that standpoint.
Okay. I think Tennessee, I'm not sure if Tennessee is going to keep Tannehill. They should because he seems like he's a good leader. I don't know what they're going to do with the backup quarterback. Because he's going to be a free, he's going to be on the market, and other teams are looking for a quarterback, Mariota, and so you're going to need another backup. I don't know if Tennessee would be willing to say, okay, Mariota, if you're willing to be the backup in case something happens to Tannehill, and kind of play a Nick Foles kind of role, then we can roll with it. I don't know if he would settle for that after being a starter for most of his career. I think you're right about that running back, but I think they don't need like a bruising running back. They need a running back who can run on the outside, who can kind of like Tariq Hill as a running back, who can get on the outside, end arounds, things of that sort, to kind of trick teams and kind of put teams on their heels to kind of move that offense. I think their defense is going to get better and better and better, but I think what you said about having reserves, I think that's going to be a key for them in the draft. And then one of the things that I think that Tennessee needs to do is they have figured out their identity. We're a running team. We're a time possession team. They need to get better at that. But also when they need to, when they get behind maybe two or three touchdowns, they need to have some explosiveness or get players that are playmakers that could explode. And once they're behind, they can catch up. Because one of the things that pet peeves about Tennessee is that when they did get behind by a couple of scores, they had a hard time in trying to catch up with the team. There were some games when they were able to do it, maybe by 10 points. But if they got down by more than two touchdowns, say like the Kansas City Chiefs, when they got down maybe about two or three touchdowns, they have the explosiveness to kind of jump back in the game and make a game of it. Tennessee needs that option in their offense in order to make it to the next level. All right, the next team is the Houston Texans. I'll go first on this one. The Texans need to strengthen their defense. They cannot rely on Watt all the time. Watt is, don't get me wrong, he plays his heart out. But they need some bruisers on that defensive line. Merciless, who is one of the top linebackers there with Houston, I think he's good, but he needs some help. And they need some help in the secondary. And also with Houston, they need an offensive line to protect Watson. He is taking too many hits. Now, I know he runs a lot, but it's just a matter of time where he's going to take a hit too many and be out for the year again or get a hit that he'll never be the same again. So in order for him to be better, they need to really kind of strengthen that offensive line, to give him time to pass, and when he has an option to run, to run. But I just saw in a lot of games with Houston where Watson just put the team on his back and said, you know what, hook or crook, I'm just going to make things happen. It's almost like he's the Michael Jordan of football where he could just single-handedly kind of just take the game over when he decides to. But my concern for him, Ice, is that he is taking too many hits. Maybe they need another receiver or more tools on the offense outside of Hopkins that could help him kind of save his body so he can get to a Super Bowl, be durable enough to get to a Super Bowl. But that's what I see that the Houston Texans need.
Yeah, I can see that. I'll tell you what would be great. You probably can't do it, but it would be lovely to combine the Carolina Panthers with the Houston Texans.
Why
I think that,
that
would be because it will work well. You need a running back for Houston. You need some wide receivers. You need versatility. Houston needs more wide receivers, more weapons on offense, and you need help on defense. And Carolina, at certain times, were able to show up. I know Kingsley just retired, but they could combine one another. But Houston definitely needs a running back, a number one option at running back. I like Carlos Hyde. He gave all he could. But you need a young guy that can, or somebody that can really move the change for them. And the whole point of this is, along with the offensive line, help to keep Watson up, as you mentioned. The more weapons you have, the easier it will be for Watson to be the best he can be. And unfortunately, he's had to be like a Superman, a la like Russell Wilson. And I think the more options that they have, and more receivers and more protection he receives, he can be the player that we saw at Clemson. I just think that he's doing too much. He's going to get hurt, as you mentioned. So they're going to have to really bust their butt to do that. And I do agree with you that they definitely need some depth on that defensive side. Instead of just spending, giving people money, they need people they need playmakers on defense. Because, again, you can't just keep riding the white train, because he will evaporate if you keep using him up, because your body can only take so much punishment.
So what was the Ohio State quarterback that was there, Houston Texans running back? Is he gone?
Who's that?
Remember the Ohio State quarterback that became the Houston Texans running back or flanker? Is he gone? Was he hurt?
I forget his name.
Like 3 years ago. 3 years ago, the quarterback, the brother.
No. Okay, you're talking about, I'm sorry. Yes, you're talking about Braxton Miller.
Yes, Braxton Miller. They had two Millers that were running back. Are they gone,
right,
or are they, because I thought they were injured. Are they still there?
I don't think either one of them is there. I know Braxton Miller's been bouncing around to practice squads. The last time I heard, he was in Philadelphia. He's been in Cleveland.
Okay.
He's been on a lot of practice squads. So he's no longer there, and I think the other Miller was no longer there either. That's why they brought in Carlos Hyde. And I'm trying to think of the other backs from Tampa Bay. I think I was with Tampa Bay. So, yeah, but they need another one. They need a running back. It would be good to hold on to Carlos Hyde as a collateral, as a veteran, to show him the ropes. But you need somebody that's going to make. That's why I said combining it and putting. You imagine McCaffrey on that squad? Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
But any
wow.
Yeah, McCaffrey with Deshaun Watson.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
wow.
My goodness, that was, oof. Yeah. Put Curtis Samuel in the slot. Yeah, it could be nasty. Anyway.
I'm gonna go with Green Bay first, but I want to go back to New England because they're in a quieter situation right now with Brady. But let's go to the Green Bay first. I think Green Bay needs an offensive line. They need a number one receiver. They need also a receiver like Edelman. Is to the New England Patriots, where if Aaron Rodgers is in trouble, he can always dump it off, or this receiver always finds a way to get open. I think they need that offense. I think they improved on their running game because the Green Bay running game before last year was non-existent, and so I think they have that. They can create some depth with that. I think to defense, they missed Matthews, the linebacker, the heat-seeking missile that could tackle, that will go after the ball, the ball hawk, okay? And so they need some linebackers to strengthen up that defense. I think their defense was much improved, but when I know Black mentioned this earlier, they couldn't make tackles with San Francisco. And San Francisco, I mean, they were creating holes and doing things to the Green Bay the same way they did it in week 12. So I don't know what the coach was doing as far as how he was making adjustments to find and figure out ways to beat the 49ers, but it didn't work. And so they need a receiver, because I saw Aaron Rodgers when he had Doty Norton and other receivers like the dude that went to Dallas Cowboys, I think, is it Webb?
I want to
say.
Cobb.
But he had receivers, Cobb. He had some receivers in the past where he could rely on. It seems like now he has a young core receivers that he really doesn't trust anymore or can't trust yet because they don't have the experience and they're not used to playing with Aaron Rodgers. It's almost like they're in awe of Aaron Rodgers. And sometimes they'll make a play and sometimes they won't. So maybe some more experience at the receiving core. Graham, I don't know. Their tight end, I'm not sure about their tight end. And maybe you need, it seems like in the NFL right now, if you don't have a real solid tight end that can block and catch a ball and make plays, then you're not really going anywhere. But I just see a lot of people are saying Aaron Rodgers losing stuff and stuff like that. If I'm playing and you're saying I'm losing a step and I'm winning 12 or 13 games, I'll take it. I'll take it. And I just think he needs tools around him, especially in the next 4 years he's under contract, some tools around him to make it happen. Your thoughts about the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, part of it, too, is why you see the weapons. I was looking at some stats, and it was Aaron Jones to left, Aaron Jones to right, Aaron Jones up the middle, Aaron Jones catches a touchdown. So you look from the standpoint, Aaron Jones, their running back, was the second leading receiver on the team. And the third leading
right.
receiver on that team was another running back, Jamal Williams. So Jimmy Graham, the tight end, ends up being he's the fourth leading receiver on that team. And with that being said, you only have one option, and you become predictable. And you can play a team like the Dallas Cowboys and gouge them for like 9 touchdowns, which Jones did. But you need other receivers. You need that for Aaron Rodgers to stand up. You need, of course, as you said before, better help, more additional help on the offensive line to help him that way too. And you do need to, like most other teams, you need depth on defense, because when that team is not moving the ball, and you have to keep coming out, you have to be able to stop somebody. That's something that San Francisco really, really exposed them. They just ran the ball so many times, which I said before. How is Green Bay able to not stop them? But they played Seattle. They even jumped out on Seattle early on the last game, and Seattle still was able to find their way back with that high-powered
right.
offense in San Francisco. So I think a lot of that has to do with coaching, philosophy, and also depth where you're playing that, depending on the unit, particularly on defense.
Okay. Question, I want to go back to the New England Patriots. What did New England do? I mean, you got Tom Brady out there. He said he's open to listening to offers from other teams. I can't see Tom Brady going to a team that's not playoff bound, but you got a lot of teams that are set in their quarterbacks that are playoff and Super Bowl bound that really don't need Tom Brady at this particular time. The only teams I see that need him, the teams that really didn't make the playoffs, like a Los Angeles Chargers, team that I think would be a perfect fit for him because they have the receiving core over there. They have a tight defense. I thought the inconsistency, to be perfectly honest, was Phillip Rivers for the San Diego Chargers for the last few seasons. He just doesn't have it. And so it seems like Phillip Rivers is moving out of California, went back to Miami, where he's probably listening to offers from teams. I can't see teams offering him too much. What do New England do? Do they? You already hear Kraft say, you know, I would like him to come back or retire as a New England Patriot. What do they do, Ike?
Well, I mean, it depends on what he wants to do, because there's great opportunities for him. As you mentioned, the Chargers have a lot of offense. They need help offensive line, but they have a lot of weapons that way if he wants to move to California, and they have a solid young defense. But if he wants to win, a lot of people are looking at some other teams. I heard some madness talking about, what about the Raiders? The Raiders are not ready. for Tom Brady.
Nah.
They thought it would be huge. Nah. But I said before one of the teams I thought he would be helpful on and could be making a move is Indianapolis. I think they're up and coming. You have wide receivers there. They have a decent running back up and coming with Mack. And also they have decent wide receivers. And they could make some moves to continue on. They need to keep building up their defense. And it's kind of a slower town like New England was. So if you want to be right in the Midwest for your family as well. But they could do that also, too. That's what Brady could do. But to answer your question, New England could also look at Teddy Bridgewater might be available. I know you mentioned crazy.
Do you think
they
would grab Teddy Bridgewater? Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That was a big question mark in my head.
Yeah, I mean, it is. But I'm just saying, you got to look at what you got to look at. Depends on what happens there. Depending on what the – I'm not sure what – if what his availability is. But the other thing, too, is depending on what Indianapolis does. Let's say they try to bring in Brady, then bring in the quarterback – can't think of his name off the top of my head – Indianapolis.
Yeah, bring him back to New England.
Yeah, because he knows the system. And he's going to be more than serviceable. So that could work. I know Phillip Rivers is not an option. And also maybe even somebody like – even though he showed he could be serviceable, if they move on from him, somebody like Tannehill, maybe he needs just right coaching and the right place pieces around him, he could probably get the job done in New England. Or last but not least, Mariota could, but I mean, whatever. And some other two, if they had the opportunity, I know you're going to laugh, but you put the right pieces around him and have him calm down and teach him how to win football games, you're going to laugh about this. What about Andy Dalton?
I'm not laughing, but I am sniggling a little bit. But
I think Andy is
washed up, bro. I think Andy's washed up.
But you gonna say that about Rivers? Name me one quarterback that I really feel good about. I mean, the only guy I really say that they really could make a move on and feel good about will be Brissett. I think Brissett can be a real talent there, surrounded by the right pieces. He took on an unbelievable. Go ahead
and finish.
No, I was going to say that he took on a major task of when Andrew Luck left. He was made the starter, and he was the starter when he was hurt. And they kept saying, oh, he's not that good, but people were hurt, and he still made things happen. They could have been better, but nobody's really given Brissett the credit he deserves for keeping them from not being a basement team. And I think with the right, better coaching and the right situation with better talent, you never know what Jacoby Brissett might do for a team. And he's been trained in New England. And don't you think he would love to go back to New England and they upgrade their weapons? Woo!
I think that'll make a lot of sense. I really do, to grab him again. I think that would make a lot of sense because he is under their system. And I don't know. It's just real crazy. Andy Dalton, I don't know, bro. I don't know if there's a future for Andy Dalton, and especially if they Cincinnati picks up Joe Burrow from LSU. It's like I think they could just say, I wouldn't even waste time in keeping Andy Dalton on the payroll. I would just launch him as soon as we drafted Joe Burrow, because Joe Burrow, he's going to be a hot name coming out of college. There are a lot of college quarterbacks that are coming out in the draft that folks are really sleeping on, but I think he's going to be the hot name that Cincinnati's going to go, a hometown boy, just to put people in the stands, just like Baker Mayfield up in Cleveland. So, but as soon as they draft him, I think that it's bye-bye for Andy Dalton, and I don't know if Andy Dalton will start. He'll probably get a chance to start somewhere, but to go somewhere and become the starter, I just can't see it right now. I think he's just washed up. He's not as washed up as Rivers, but he hasn't played as long as Rivers. So we'll have to see about that. We really have to see about that. But the Super Bowl is next week. We're not going to talk too much about it because I don't want to hype it. But we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk some NBA basketball. There have been some interesting stories coming about with Chris Paul, Derrick Rose, and something that Caron Butler said about your boy James Harden about why people won't come to Houston to play. We'll talk about that on the other side. You're listening to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Welcome back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Of course, we're going to talk some NBA basketball, NCAA basketball, and boxing and UFC. Gregor had a short day at work with 40 seconds worth of fight. Felt like I wasted the whole night. But anywho, also, there's some other sports stories that we're going to talk about. Rosario and Williams. Rosario beat Williams last week in the super welterweight fight. Garcia and Redcock, I think that's the way you pronounce his name, as a Saturday, as well as Hurd and I think Sanchez are fighting this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. But we'll get to that. Also, we'll get to Shields, the female champion, boxing champion, trying to call out Leila Ali and talk a little bit about that. But let's go to basketball. Before we go to our eye test, man, Derrick Rose seems to be a hot commodity. The Lakers and other teams are looking at him to try to grab some gusto and grab some reserve players for the playoff run. What do you think about Derrick Rose? I think it's a good move if teams are trying to go to the playoffs to grab Derrick Rose. He's been playing really consistent. He's not been hurt. He's doing his thing in Detroit, even though Detroit's not doing that well this season. Derrick Rose is playing real hard and doing his thing. And he's kind of looking like the Derrick Rose of old, to be honest with you. What do you think about teams trying to pick up and do the Lakers? You think the Lakers have a chance? Like they don't have enough right now, and I don't think they do. But do you think he will land up as a Laker?
I'm not sure. I mean, he might do it just to get on the ride if he wants to win a championship, if he thinks they're close. But I think it really depends on the chemistry and the makeup of the team, because there's a lot of people in there that want that ball. And what Derrick Rose is going to bring you is not defense, okay? He's going to be coming off the secondary, coming off that bench, scoring points. And with that in mind, he has to be the right fit. And Detroit, he's able to do it because that's just a great fit for him. And they need that type of scoring. But are you going to be able to have the bench players to come off of like they do for the Lakers and watch him score? Because my only question is, I have to check his stats and see, is he making anybody better? Is he taking this one-on-one by himself? That's what the stats are. So I think it depends on the fit, not just because he's playing a good ball, but can he transform that on to any team? Or is it just the factor that he's in Detroit?
Two teams that come to mind when I think about Derrick Rose and who could he help in the playoffs is Denver and Utah, man. Denver and Utah. Those are teams that I think that he could step on and really kind of be the catalyst to kind of helping those teams make a deep run in the playoffs with the scoring. Of course, you're right about the defense. Derrick Rose is not going to give you he's not one of the top defensive players out there. But I do think that teams like Utah and Denver, I think he could really kind of really give them a spark to do something and carry those teams far. NBA championship with those teams, I don't know. But I think he can give a spark to. What do you think about those teams?
Yeah, the only thing with Utah's made some changes. When Mark Conley got hurt, they weren't traded for. They got picked up Jordan Clarkson, and now Mark Conley is coming off the bench, and I guess he's flourishing in that role. So Clarkson is starting, and they've been able to move themselves up. I think to around the fourth position. They're playing really good ball. So again, it's the chemistry because everybody's not going to be able to just. I mean, Derrick Rose is putting up a lot of shots. You know, he's averaging 18 points a game, coming off the bench, averaging 26 minutes off the bench. So they're really rolling with him. And, you know, he's shooting pretty decent from the – he's shooting like almost 50% from the field. But overall, you just have to ask yourself is, can he fit in with everybody? And I'm not sure – that's why I said chemistry, I think, will be very key where he lands to success.
All right. So what do you think about this next story? Chris Paul declines the $44 million player option.
Did he actually decline it?
That's what the report said. They declined the $44 million option.
Wow.
I know that Yahoo Sports reported that.
Okay. I think he must –
Did you hear
maybe
something
he wants
different?
I'm trying to find it out now. If he declined it, that means he wants to go move on, right?
I was under the impression that he wanted to stay at OKC.
Okay.
But maybe it's a mistake by Yahoo Sports to say declining the offer. Because
the first thing I heard
is that he's taking the money.
Okay. You know, that's what I need to verify because I thought it sounded like he was trying to take the money. That's what I first read. So
okay,
I think
let's
that's
table that until we can look at it. Yeah, let's table that until we can verify. All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Can I throw something else? Because I'm just reading this recently, and it says Chris Paul says no chance he will waive the 44 player option, $44 million option, even if it means playing with his team. So, yeah, no chance.
He's still doing the State Farm commercials, so maybe I thought that was
Yeah, he ain't stupid, man. When I heard that, I said, did he decline it? Yeah, nah, that brother, he has a family. That brother, he might want to win, but, you know, as much he might want a title, his wife, you done brought us all the way around this world. You got us running here and there. We in freaking Oklahoma City. Can we at least get a new car? All right, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, he turned it down.
So with
and
that being said, what do you think about that decision, man?
You got to do what you got to do. Unless you guaranteed he's an older guy. Unless he's guaranteed a chance to really win a title. I don't think he's done chasing titles, bro. I mean, $44 million, I think that says it all. He's down there in Oklahoma City. They're appreciating like they did with Russell Westbrook. He's playing with a young player and with Gilgeous Alexander, who's really coming on. And the young men, even though they're losing, they're appreciating. And if they can get a slot, they can be in the A slot and stay there and make a run, then playoffs is the playoffs. They have to play the Lakers. But $44 million is hard to walk away from when you made that run. You tried it with Houston. You being frustrated with James Harden, whatever the situation may be. You've been on and on with what's going on, finally chasing a dream. And after a while, you're like, you know what, man? Now basketball is basketball. Let me keep my money and enjoy my family, which I think he's doing right now.
You know what? I wonder if this is guaranteed, because here is what I can see him doing. I don't think he's put that playoff or championship run behind him. What I can see him doing with this is taking the $44 million, then maybe signing with somebody else for the minimum to make a championship run. That's what I could see him doing with this. Because guys that have that passion for the game, like him, he wants a championship. He desperately, to me, he that's what he plays for. He plays to play against the best players in the league, to show them up, and to win a championship. There's no way he's going to let guys like Curry, who plays the same position as him, get championships and him not make a attempt to get one. I just can't see that for him. I don't think he's like, you know what, I'm not going to make it. But I can see him saying, okay, I'll take the $44 million, but if somebody else wants to pick me up, I'll take the minimum and get this money. So I'm wondering if it's guaranteed that he would get this player option money and move on.
Let me just say this. He is earning $38 million this year, okay?
Right.
Next season, he's due $41,358,000 next year. It's a high amount to guarantee 35 years old. So as much as we might say he wants to move on, man, I think this dude is like, you know what, dude? Where you going to get this at? He's playing the Floyd Mayweather role. Think about that. 38 and 41, you do the math, bro. That's like $80 million, man. 2 years?
Right.
Where you going?
So how long is LeBron's contract with the Lakers?
What is it? Two more years? Yeah, uh-huh. 2 more years. Yeah.
So you don't see him and LeBron combining, trying to make a championship run in that final year of LeBron's career or contract?
I don't know. He might, but, man, that's – I'm telling you. I mean, he might. Yeah, I'm not saying never, but he's going to get that other money first, though. He's going to get that other money. His wife is like, look, are you crazy as hell? You done brought me to Oklahoma City. First you said we was going to be in L.A. Then I said, yeah, I'll go to Houston. Now you got me in Oklahoma City and you want to go somewhere and play for less money? You at least got – nah, I need that $44 million. Okay, baby.
He's going to say, listen, baby, I'm going to do some more State Farm commercials. We're going to be fine.
No. She's going to say, no, the hell you ain't.
It's just going to be me.
$47 million? Ain't no way in hell she's going to let him turn away $50 million. You already moved out of Oklahoma City? Come on, bro.
But look at what Carmelo did. He went to Atlanta, didn't play a game, got all that money. Got all the money and went to go play somewhere else, played in Houston for almost, you know, peanuts. Didn't work out there, played with OKC. He got all that money from places he went. Now he's ending up in Portland. So I'm thinking,
I mean, I'm with
you. You know, 53 going to do the same thing. He can do the he can actually do the same thing.
Let me just say this, and let's very quickly, because we got other stuff to talk about. Let's say this.
Right.
There's a major difference between CP3's career, and I know people love Carmelo Anthony, but he has not played yet on that level, on championship level. CP3, yeah, it's come close. So it may not be the same. I think Carmelo was chasing dreams, chasing a championship, and after a while, he's like, I'm just glad to be back in the league. So, yeah, I think Chris Paul's done it. He was with the Lob City, and when they did their thing, tried to, and he just went down with Harden. So he's had his opportunity. It didn't work out for him. I think he's good with that money, bro. Because if he wasn't, he'd be like, yeah, I'm ready to get the hell out of here. Because why would he come out and say, no, straight? Hell no, I ain't giving him no 44. My wife said hell no. And my wife is the one that speaks.
All right. We're going to move on. Caron Butler, former NBA player, says on James Harden that players don't want to go to Houston and run track because, you know, maybe your boy is a ball hog. So Houston right now, they are slipping fast, slipping in the darkness, as the song goes. And they are really slipping fast. The experiment is not working out. I know their coach is probably, if it really tanks, their coach is gone. Their coach is really gone because they play no defense whatsoever. I saw a game where, and it's rare that I watch Houston games, but I can't stand to see Harden just dribble the ball, and he's like playing by himself. But He was 1 for 17 in three-pointers. You would think after the sixth three-pointer you missed, you would say, okay, I want to pass the ball. After the 10th, you know what? It ain't working out. Let me pass the ball. This dude threw up 17 and hit one. And I'm not impressed that you stayed after the game and worked on your threes. That stuff is worked on before games. And then you had a game where the same game where they were trying to throw the ball to Tucker for a three-pointer, Westbrook intercepts the ball and tries to hoist his own three-pointer, knowing that he's not a three-point shooter. Houston, we got a problem, bro. But what do you think about Caron Butler's comments?
Well, he might be right. I'm not going to say he's not right. A lot of people probably don't want to go down there. But James Harden knows this is James Harden's world. They love James Harden down there. So he could be 1-17. Westbrook found out how much they loved him. So now people are frustrated, but this is what you bought into. So you can't love him and hate him all in the same manner. He's the MVP. He's getting triple-doubles when you put around the right people around him. So now he's like, he playing it out, bro. You can't blame him for that. Are they going to win it all? I think he knows when Chris Paul left, they weren't, even when they picked up Westbrook. But this is clearly James Harden's team. Westbrook found that out the hard way. So if he want to go 1-for-17, you think he give a damn about whatever somebody else is thinking? He is the beard has got his. They allowed him to travel when he wants to. He's created his own move. You got little kids doing that step back now. Man, he living a little bit.
Allowed him to travel.
Yeah. They allowed him to travel. These other little kids are trying that now. Dude, the beard has become his own symbol, bro. So, you know, he's making a lot of money, and he's living, man. He's doing it. He don't care. He's partying, drinking champagne, whatever he's doing. He ain't going to win, but he's paid. Yeah, exactly.
So what do you
know his season?
What do you
know his season's over in May.
And then that's when we're going to start complaining about MVP. But anyway, what do you think about Tracy McGrady's comment that Westbrook is the best player on that team?
Well, that's just to each his own. He doesn't like what Harden's doing the way he's playing. So that's fine. I don't know if he's the best player though, because love him or hate him, but the way that Harden's able to still drop 50 here's my thing: if Westbrook was that good, wouldn't he be taking the shots, or not?
Yeah,
wouldn't he be scoring the 50?
He is taking those shots.
When
he gets the ball.
He making them? Well, but then again, if you are that. If that's your dude, don't you? But you know what? I think Harden is getting them back for all that BS he had to go through with OKC. When he had to pass the ball. See how that felt, man? See how that felt? Told you. Not down here, baby. My squad.
So you don't like that, right?
About
you don't
that.
Like that. See?
Yeah, you don't like that. Now you know how I feel.
All right, man. This is a sad story, man, and I hated to see this, but a cop videotaped Delonte West, and obviously he's having some mental health issues, and they taped him, and he's in a bad way. I've heard some people say that, you know, the NBA should step in or people should step in and try to help him out. First thing I thought about is where's his family, things of that sort. But what's your thoughts about I know he played for the Cleveland Cavaliers. He played for Boston Celtics. And some other teams he played, I think, in the G League also. What are your thoughts about this videotape? I don't know if you've seen it or not, with Delonte West and the condition he's in.
Well, I'll just say this. It's when I saw it, it's sad for anybody. I mean, I know he's getting a lot of publicity and a lot of play because of the fact that he was a former NBA player and how quick he's fallen. But this would be sad for anybody. The way that he was beat down in the street, and then the way he was responding, because it seems like he was not on his meds, and he's just in a very bad way. So the NBA could help, but the question is, does the brother want help, man? Does he want help?
Yeah.
And can somebody help him stay on his meds? Because It's like anything else. When you have a substance abuse problem, may it be drugs or alcohol, the person has to want to be helped. You might clean them up for a while, man, but at the end of the day, with all the support in the world, that individual has to even with their manic ways that they may be sometimes, they have to want to do it. Otherwise, you clean them up for a while, and they could be right back where they were after all of the help and all of the monies that have been spent. Unfortunately, that's just how this rolls. I have had that experience with some family members. The individual has to want to be helped, brother. But doesn't mean you don't try. But the individual has to want to make a change.
You know, mental health is near and dear to my heart. And, you know, prayers up for that brother, those of you listening.
Sure.
You know, and hopefully he gets the help that he needs. This is a guy, you know, not too many people make it to the NBA. So for him to be that talented and then fall from grace like this is really – really, really sad to see. We're going to take a break. I know we didn't talk about Jason Garrett being the offensive coordinator. I wanted to talk about that in the first 40, but we ran out of time. We'll talk about that as well as we'll try to sneak some NCAA basketball in. And, of course, I think what we should talk about next is the UFC and boxing because there are some interesting things happening and there's some interesting things about to happen in that arena. We'll be back right here on the Goon Squad Radio.
The champion's here. Time's up. The champion's here. The remix. The champion's here. 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 With the champion. You already know.
Welcome back to the Goose Wild Sports Radio Show. Let's talk some UFC and boxing. Of course, McGregor made easy work of Cowboy last weekend. It was a highly anticipated fight. McGregor's return back to the UFC, but it only lasted for 40 seconds. Nasty shoulder blows and then a kick to the head, and then just pounding ground, and that was it. I thought it was a waste of time. Nick Diaz had a comment on Twitter that you can see on our page. We posted it up, and it looks like he's hungry for McGregor, and other people are hungry for McGregor that was at that particular fight. What are your thoughts about McGregor coming back from the UFC and kind of beating Cowboy in impressive fashion?
I tried to warn you. I told you that man got money, has money to make. I tried to tell you that. You're like, I don't know. Okay, look, hey, when that man was getting in shape, trying to get himself together, and he has money to make, he knows what's going on out there, he was ready, and there are a lot of fights out there. I was impressed by it. Cowboy, still no joke at all. He's still dangerous, and McGregor, even at a big disadvantage as far as weight, went in there and handled business, and that's impressive to me because to knock that man out the way he did with quickness shows me that he was focused. And that's what makes McGregor really dangerous when he's coming in focused. So, quick work, ready to move on, and he's ready to take on all comers.
Who's next?
What you want to do? Nate Diaz threw it out there because he knows that it's coming. But I think Nate is going to kind of get healthy, and he's willing to wait after his next fight. So I think Nate Diaz is on the back burner because everybody wants to see that fight. That's not going anywhere. That's going to be a great fight no matter when it happens. So that's great. Then there's Khabib, who defeated McGregor, which Dana White wants. But the fight I think he should take is just Jorge Masvidal, the one that the gentleman that just beat Nate Diaz. I think so, too, because
–
he swears he's the guy. Everybody wants it because they know that McGregor is going to bring money. But I think Jorge might be back. I mean, he's good, and he beat Nate, and he got him. But, you know, you might be biting off a little bit more you can chew because he's eating all kind of sandwiches, and he's eating all – he's not taking his training really strong, and he might get surprised. And I would like to see it. I'm just saying, I don't know if McGregor will fight or not. I want to see McGregor fight Masvidal because Khabib hasn't done anything. They all need McGregor. Khabib, you haven't heard anything from him since he won that fight. Jorge beats Nate Diaz. He wants to make another payday. So McGregor fights Masvidal and beats him. Then it's the greatest, one of the greatest fights in UFC history when you have Nate Diaz and McGregor one more time for all the marbles. Number three, you can't get no sweeter than that.
I think Masvidal could take McGregor. I really do. I'm impressed with Masvidal, and I think he could take McGregor. I think he will come in focused. You know, I think there's a persona that he shows the public, but I think that dude is the real deal. And that he will come in focus, knowing that, you know, he's up against another dude, you know, another badass.
Oh,
so,
he might.
I'm pretty sure that. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
go with Masvidal
real quick
on this one.
I'm not making no excuses, but Nate Diaz said when I beat old boy prior to that fight, he said they rushed me back. They wanted me right back against Masvidal.
Right.
He wanted me right back. He said most times guys get a year off. They threw me right back in there because, you know, I don't give a damn. I'll fight. You kept me out for 3 years. I wanted to fight. So my point is that I like Masvidal, but we're going to find out. I mean, McGregor's a bad dude. So I'm not just going to give it to him because I ain't saying you caught Nate on a bad night. But let Nate rest up a little bit and let's get it back on because last but not least, I'll say this about that is even though Nate got rocked, Nate never quit. He didn't stop. He didn't stop him either. Stopped him on cuts. Nate's a dog like that, man. You know, I'm a ride and die with Nate Diaz.
Yeah. All right, the fight this weekend with Rosario from the Dominican Republic defeating Williams and taking his title, man, I thought that was an impressive fight by Rosario. I don't think Williams saw that coming, and he just handed him. I mean, he just handled him really, really, to me, easily. And I think that Williams took this on a, you know, kind of short notice. But Rosario seems like he was ready for the fight. What did you think about that fight?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. What really surprised me was this. You're fighting in your hometown, right? And that was in Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philly. Right.
But fighting in your hometown. And everybody's going to be there. And I don't care who you're fighting. You have to be ready. And I think – I'm not sure why Williams wasn't ready. He put on one hell of a performance. Very impressive to take that from Jared Hurd. Jared Hurd's a tough competitor.
Right.
And to defeat him the way that he did, I thought it was probably his biggest fight of his life after he got rocked by one of the Charlos. And then they'll come back that. That was a major win for him. And I thought he was on his way. And I think after that he was supposed to fight one of the Charlos or another fighter. Maybe even Hurd again. But I think he slipped up. He let his guard down and didn't realize that what it takes to be a champion. You cannot take anybody for granted. And Rosario caught him. And I know he says he lost fair and square, but you're the champion now, bro. He worked too hard to get there. Now it's like going back to round zero. Because people are going to be running to get to Rosario because they might just have – he had a great night. You know the Charlo boys over there. Like, I can't wait to get in there because I see exactly what I can do to him.
Yeah.
Like,
usually they say that.
Buddy, that one, what was his name? Ruiz, when he won. When he beat.
Yeah.
Joshua. Yeah. Yeah.
You ran into to what I was going to say. You know, Ruiz and Williams, they ran into that thing where usually when you become champion, it makes you a better fighter. It makes you more focused. You work so hard to get to that championship, and now you want to keep it. Not in these cases. I mean, it was like Williams wasn't even if you didn't tell me that Williams was a champion, I wouldn't thought he was a champion the way he was being handled that night. I misspoke earlier about the fight coming up this weekend. You have Francisco Santana versus Jared Hurd on the undercard. and you have Danny Garcia. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Ivan Redkoch, who had a fight recently. What do you see in those two fights, man, and who comes out as the victor?
Well, this is Jerry Hart's opportunity. I think he had an opportunity to fight Julian Williams, and he turned it down because he wanted to try to get himself right again before he took that fight for the title. But I think he's going to come in focus. He's a very laser, intense individual. He knows that this is on money's on the line for him, and he wants to show that he can come back and be strong. So I expect Jared Hurd to come out with, if nothing else, a unanimous victory in that fight. And same way with Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia is laid out for him. If he wins this fight, things can open up. There's a chance he could face Manny Pacquiao. He doesn't want anything to do with Crawford. But there's also a chance that he might be able to get a shot at Errol Spence Jr. So the kid is winning his fight. So no matter how it goes, he's right in the mix. He probably would love the Pacquiao fight because he thinks he can beat him. He said he wants to fight Errol Spence Jr., but he needs to put that Pacquiao notch on his belt if he can. So, but it all starts here. So I think Danny Garcia will come out, and he'll be ready because his dad's going to tell him, this is your opportunity. And if he loses this, like Williams did, it's going to be very difficult for him to get any true respect. Because now he's saying he's back. He's not that slow guy we've been watching for. He's not first anymore. He has to win this fight if he really wants to be considered a top guy still in the divisions with Crawford, Porter, Spence, etc., and now even Pacquiao. Otherwise, it's like you can't even beat guys that nobody really took seriously. Not to put down his opponent, but if you want to be with the big dogs, Danny, you should be impressive with this fight.
It seems like I said this generation of Philly fighters is not as tough as the the last few generations of the Philly fighters. If you got a fighter from Philly, you're going to barely get out of there if you get out of there at all.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it just seems like that. Like you see, the Danny Garcia is a heck of a technician and has won some very impressive fights, but at times he's been slow to start. He's been a slow starter.
Mm-hmm.
You saw Junior Real when he was getting rocked. Bernard Hopkins is Bernard Hopkins, but as he got older, it went down. They're not the same. The only one I can see, too, that maybe may be that way, but he may not have the same high skill set as the other ones, but he will come and fight, give you everything he has. That's Tevin Farmer. So he reminds me of the old-school Philadelphia fighters. But you're right. There are a lot of other guys that have not, risen up to the situation. I will say this. I know it's too late and he's older, but if there's some interest, I would love to see Andre Ward come out of retirement, man. And fight.
I've been hearing buzz about that.
Fight either Canelo or Triple G. I really want that Triple G fight, man. I want that. I can take. Oh, buddy. I can taste it. I don't know if he's the same guy, but damn it. I am so tired of people perpetrating Triple G to being different than what he is. He's an older guy now. He's not the same dude. I would love to see that fight. I might even try to fly out and see that somewhere. I might see that in person. I love Son of God, bro. So we'll see.
All right, man. Shields versus Ali? Question mark. So it seems like your girl Shields is trying to call out Layla Ali, saying that Layla Ali disrespected her. We posted up the videos of their tit for tat. Does Shields have a chance even in getting Layla Ali out of retirement? And you know what? I think if Layla Ali gets out of retirement and really gets in shape, I think that this is a person that could kind of bring her down a peg or two. Your thoughts about this, man?
You might be right, because you've been talking about it a little bit. You've been alluding to the fact that you don't think there's really enough talent to really challenge Carissa Shields. And you might be right.
Mm-hmm.
But Layla Ali is, if I'm not mistaken, 42, 43 years old.
Yeah.
And she said it best on the video. She said, if you think I'm going to get in the ring for $5 million, you crazy. It's going to take at least 10, if not more, to get, because all she has to do, she had kids, I'm a mom. She possibly could do it, but I'm telling you this. Clarissa Shields should not buy into the hype. And this is where maybe she just wants to fight because she knows that it's a way for her to make money, and I'm not mad at that. But the fact that you saw the Breakfast Club try to pump this up and Charlamagne being Charlamagne the God, they've gotten so much trouble the last 2 years by running their mouths. But that's what they do. They're hype machines. I don't really think it's that serious. I really don't. I know it's something great to talk about, but and I don't think Clarissa Shields should be feeling like Ali is Layla Ali is disrespecting her because she paved the way. And she says she doesn't think anybody could mess with her. She has her right to her opinion. She's not saying I'll come in there and whoop your ass right now. She didn't say that.
Right.
She just said I don't think anybody. And then for Clarissa Shields, I'm the greatest of all time. That's all well and good. The more dignified 2-time Olympic champion says, that's well, that's nice. It's a shame we couldn't have met. And leave it right there.
Right.
But somebody's in her ear saying, what did she come out? Would you fight her? Hell yeah, I'll fight her. That was more money. That's what you're supposed to say. But the real dignified behind closed doors thing is to go, you know what? I wish we could, but that's neither here nor there. I can only go out for who they put in front of me. And I leave it right there. And let her go back to her life being a mom and a great wife.
The more I listen to Shields talk, I saw her, I had the chance to see her on Max Unboxing on ESPN. I don't know if you saw that. I try to catch a show when I can. And he was interviewing Shields. The more I listen to her, the more I tend not to respect her. She said on his show, I kid you not, she said, I don't know why people aren't paying attention to me, and I'm the greatest, blah, blah, blah. I got a nice body. I got a big butt, this, that, the other. And I'm like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Come on, girl. Come on.
I think she's
you know,
a product
have some
of her
dignity
wife.
And integrity. Yeah, but come on. Somebody needs to coach her. Like, this is what you say. This is what you don't say. I know you feel this
I
way.
There are
certain ways you say that. And so, you know, for her to get up there, I felt embarrassed for her. But then I'm like, you know, I have no respect. If you can't respect the sport, respect yourself, and respect being a woman,
yeah,
people should pay attention to you because you got a big butt. Come on now.
I agree with that.
You never
heard, think,
as much as people kind of criticize Serena, you have never heard Serena talk about, I got a big ass, so people should pay attention to me.
Yeah.
Come on,
I'm
bro.
With you. I mean, I'm with you, but I think it depends around the people that are around her. And you saw how that situation handled with her, supposedly her brother, when she was having an issue with the trainer, her last opponent's trainer. And her brother cold cocked the trainer, man. And the man barely made it to the ring. And he got a case on
him.
So if you're having those kind of your folks around you acting wild and crazy, the Flint way, some way, not all Flint people, but acting some kind of way with the Flint way, then it says a lot, man. It says a lot. And unfortunately, she's kind of falling back into maybe where she came from, which is really sad, man. Because I met her in person. I talked to her. Really nice person. But I think she's getting caught up in the hype of trying to be something that she's not. Or maybe she is, but I don't think she needs to be try to be gangster and ghetto like that. Real talk.
And the way Layla Ali, the way she presented herself and said it, she could have said it in a gangster way. But she said it, and this is the message I get from Layla Ali in her comment. I'm a grown woman. You're a girl.
Yeah.
Get on my level.
Right.
I don't have to stoop down to your level. I'm a woman. I have responsibilities. I have kids. I made my bones. Get on my level. You're not there yet. Even though you got these belts, whoever you fought, I'm a grown woman. I'm not a little girl. You can't play little girl games with me. Until you step up to that level, then you get the respect that you know, you want from me. But until then, I'm going to treat you like a little girl. And that's what I got from Layla Ali. She said it in a dignified way, but that's the message I got from Layla Ali. And if you really want this, you're going to have to pay me. I'm a businesswoman. I'm all woman,
oh, yeah.
And I'm a businesswoman. And if you want me to do this, we got to do business. You got to come right. Or don't come at all. I'm not wasting my time. And that's the difference between a woman and a little girl.
Right. But then, there's nobody else there around her that's telling her differently. And nobody really can challenge her to give her a fight. So she's going to go somebody else is going to bring it up to her, and she's going to say that. Like you said, and then the Ali name goes and speaks for itself. So she's not living off
long way.
Dad
legacy.
Yeah, the legacy goes a long way, so she's always going to get the love. And Shields is probably frustrated by that, by her by not being taken seriously. And Layla Ali was taken a lot more seriously than she was. And unfortunately, women boxing is not being received like that, which is why I think she is kind of a little bit grasping for straws, trying to be receive her shine, if you will. And I say that too.
Mm-hmm.
Look at her even talking about going over to MMA to fight Amanda Nunes, who is lights out the lioness. We talked about her. The lioness doesn't play. And she's been talking about crossing over. That shows to me a desperate need to trying to be bigger when, unfortunately, you're not being received as such. And she's earned it. Two-time champion. She's beaten everybody they put in front of her. But it unfortunately, the audience in America is not giving her just due the way she wants it. So now she's grasping at straws. One other thing, too, I was going to say to you, Mitch, about that boxing. I told you that McGregor's in command, and he was not going to lose that fight because of the money. Now they're talking about the lovely Bob Arum talking about there might be some crossover bouts in boxing with McGregor versus Crawford or Pacquiao. So McGregor has a lot on the table, bro.
A buddy mentioned that to me earlier this week, and I'm like,
yeah.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that.
I know you don't.
I really don't.
Hey, McGregor want that money,
but
bro.
People will pay for
it.
Yeah.
You do it. Yeah,
you
get that money,
we're going to take a quick break, and then questions from the Goons right here on the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Back to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Don't forget to check out the Reality of Sports page. My man Ice Water runs that page. Great articles. Our Goon Squad Sports page on Twitter and on Facebook. And the first question I have, Ice, is what are your thoughts behind Jason Garrett becoming the offensive coordinator for the New York Giants?
I could not step back.
And you
can
tell by my side, I'm not so excited about it.
I was laughing because, I know you put up that little note talking about bad decisions by coaches, and somebody said how Dallas is making coaches have made stupid mistakes. And I'm like, well, but who did the New York Giants just hire as the offensive coordinator? But hey, I'm happy for Jason Garrett because of the fact that it's a place he's. I know you're not, but I am. He's just a place he's familiar with. He played there, and when you really do the research, you find out that he believes that he and the new head coach is it Judd.
Judge.
So they have a lot in common because they are both, he was with Belichick, but they both at some point worked under Nick Saban. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
They both at some point or another worked because I didn't realize this, that Garrett was the offensive coordinator. Did you know this? When Nick Saban was the coach in Miami. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And just,
that didn't fare well.
Yeah, I know it didn't. I'm just saying. And Judge worked with Saban at Alabama. So I think they're like minds. He said they have the conversation, and they kind of hit it off. So they have good philosophy. I'll say this. I'm going to be real with you. As a coordinator, I think Jason Garrett because now he's had an opportunity to see what it's like to work with a young quarterback, and he's not in the head coaching role, which I think might have been too much for him. He may not be bad at making, calling better plays for Daniel Jones and also splitting the opportunities to use the running game as well with Barkley. So he may not be your worst pick up. So he might be able to do a little something. I think it's a better fit than as your head coach. And I know that might sound some hate coming from Dallas, but from the Cowboy fan, and it might, but it's true. I think as a coordinator, that's how he received the job in the first place. He was a pretty decent offensive coordinator. And what they have on the market right now, I believe that if he takes the lessons that he learned by struggling in Dallas as the head coach and uses that talent in front of him, he might be at least decent or be better than what the Giants have been the last couple of years.
If he didn't learn them lessons in Dallas and become a better coach, he damn sure ain't going to learn it with the Giants. And so when I first heard this, I'm like, okay, I have 2 to 3 more years of the Giants finishing in last place until they make another change at head coach and coordinator, because I can't see this working at all. Every time you think the Giants are finally going to be heading in the right direction, they make bonehead decisions. And I can hear Dallas Cowboy fans falling out on the ground laughing when the Giants pick up. As the OC, because now they don't have to worry about the Giants. They really don't. That's one team in their division they don't have to worry about. They don't have to worry about Washington, they don't have to worry about the Giants. The only team they really got to watch out for is the Philadelphia Eagles. Washington and New York have taken themselves out of the mix unless Ron Rivera just makes a miraculous kind of change there in Washington. Other than that, there's only two teams in that division, and it's Dallas and it's Philadelphia. The Giants, they just figure out a way to just mess it up every time. And it's like, when I start hearing the rumors, I'm like, when it happened, I wasn't really surprised, because it just seemed like they can't get out their own way. And it's just sad to be a fan. It's like the Giants and the Knicks are ran by the same person. It's like, but the Giants have some good players and have some good pieces, but they're not building on it. And then they make bonehead decision at coaching after bonehead decision. And it's almost like, okay, when is enough enough? But I can go all night talking about this. What's your question, sir?
Yeah, I know that's really bothers you. That's why I said, I put it out there, so I can't believe that you're not responding to this. You don't have anything to say? Woo! Okay, my question is, your thoughts on ex-Houston quarterback Derek King transferring from Houston in the transfer portal to the Miami Hurricanes?
The Miami really does need a quarterback. It just wasn't working last year. They seem to have the defensive coordinator who turned into the head coach. They seem to be okay on defense, and I expect them to grow on defense. But to me, watching them this year, they were really lacking in the quarterback position, and I think this is a good move. The same as when Burrow left his former college and went to LSU. And so you had the Washington quarterback now beating him out, and so maybe this is a better fit for him. And it seems like when these quarterbacks do make a change, it's a better fit. And I can't think of too many that haven't really succeeded in transferring. But what's your thoughts?
Yeah, they really need a quarterback. They were 6-7. They tried everybody they mm-hmm. could. And when you look at their schedule, looking at their schedule now for next year, they have a very favorable schedule. They play, they don't play a lot of very difficult teams on the road. We don't know if Florida State, they play Florida State at home. But there's not a lot there. And if they can turn things around, I'm not saying they're going to the playoffs or anything like that, but with a quarterback and maybe some fuel, because this guy has some leadership, he might be able to turn them around a little bit. But they got to figure it out, because there's no reason why that team, with all of the things that they have going on, cannot be better. And you have a lot to you have a lot of things to offer. And with that being said, now it comes down to coaching philosophy and making players rise to the occasion and play for more than just grabbing that damn defensive chain, playing a full game maybe, instead of just trying to get the chain.
Yeah. One more question. We got about less than 5 minutes left. The AP poll ranked Baylor over Gonzaga, but the coaches poll in the top 25 poll has Gonzaga over Baylor. Why did the AP decide to change? And Gonzaga was, you know, they blew out their opponents since they've been number one. Why did they decide to make the change? Why do you think they decided to make the change?
I think what has happened is you find out that the way that Baylor has played, and perhaps even Baylor's schedule and the competition that they played, is the reason why they're getting the love. Gonzaga, unfortunately, has no matter, because of the schedule there and also the conference that they play in, they're going to always have some issues. I mean, you look at Baylor, they lost to Washington. They played Villanova. They played Arizona, who was ranked at the time. They beat them. They beat Butler. They beat Texas Tech. They beat Kansas. So, I mean, and they beat a decent Iowa State team. So, they have some top-notch wins over on their belt. And so has Gonzaga. But
right.
I think Baylor has these wins, man. I mean, versus Villanova, Arizona, Butler, like I said. So I think they're getting denied for some people compared to Gonzaga blowing out Nevada. It's unfortunate, but that's what it is.
Yeah, my thing is, if you rank the team number one, and you should have thought of this beforehand, keep them at number one until they're tested or come a close call where they don't deserve it. But I just saw no reason why to change it now since you put them number one. No, I know Baylor is balling out, but we've seen this all year. You put a team at number one because they're balling out, and then in the next 2 weeks, they're going to get blown out or upset, and then you wind up putting the same team that you took out of number one back at number one. Now, I understand about the conference thing and all that other stuff, but I think sometimes it's a lack of respect for Gonzaga. They only can play the teams that's in front of them. And I think they had a decent non-conference schedule, but they can only play in the conference that they're in. And I have to say, watching Gonzaga, they're a pretty good damn football, basketball team. They're good. And I would look at it as, okay, let's put this chip on our shoulder, get better, and when tournament time comes around, let's just blast teams and get to the Final Four and see what we do after that. Any last-second shots, man?
Yeah, just real quick on that. I think you're absolutely right. One thing I will say as well is the fact that your theory might come to fruition as early as Saturday when, when Baylor visits Florida Saturday
night.
So there you go.
Yeah, wait a couple of weeks. Let them enjoy number one. You know, they've worked for years. Gonzaga's been working their way in, and now they got there. You know, don't disrespect them. You know, they prove themselves every year by getting into the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight or the Final Four or to the championship game. You know, let them have that honor. But I'll go with my last-second shot first. Giving shouts out to David Stern. We talked about it in the first 40. Did a lot of things to put the NBA on a whole new level. And so rest in heaven and in peace. A lot of people didn't like him for whatever reason, but he showed leadership in a time where, you know, it was topsy-turvy in the NBA. You might not agree with everything that he did, but he's probably one of the best commissioners in sports history.
Yeah, I just want to say we didn't have a chance to talk about it a little bit, but two of my childhood heroes, man. My dad, granddad, was a big wrestling fan, man. And the loss of Tim Farrell Furpo, man, who had Del Garfio, was a legend, and definitely a legend in wrestling. And then, of course, the great Rocky Johnson. He was one of the first men of color that I watched in wrestling, along with Bobo Brazil, even before I knew who the hell Dwayne Johnson was, a.k.a. The Rock. Rocky Johnson, I literally saw him in person fight and just entertain people. And they were coming along at a time where, especially Rocky Johnson, when our folks were not really truly accepted in that sport. And it made me so proud to see Bobo Brazil with the cocoa butt, and then Rocky Johnson doing this thing. Man, that was great. That was great entertainment for a little boy of color at 4 years old watching wrestling for the first time, big-time wrestling. Rest in peace, both gentlemen. Thank y'all for the memories, man. I'll never forget it.
Good shot. We're going to end it right there. We will see you and do this podcast next week. Peace. Take care.